All right, we are recording. Awesome. Welcome to Foundations Coach Training Call number 5, ladies. I can't believe it's already been 5 calls. Actually, technically 6, right? Because we took a week off. So, wow. Crazy. So, as we start out, I just want to let you ladies know that the power is out here and we just had like the craziest rain come through. So thankfully my backup system is working really well. The Wi-Fi is good. My battery's charged. My computer should be good. But if anything, for some reason, I get lost or it kicks me off, I invite you ladies to continue the conversation to the hour that we regularly do. So for me, that's 8 o'clock. And just keep going without me in whatever theme that we're in and then continue exploring. And I'll just kind of let you, like, you know, take over the reins. And I trust that there can be value here in simply exploring with each other any themes that are up. So there as well. And since we're coming off the heels of a implementation week, I did see a couple of updates in the Facebook group. So thank you for those of you who posted and kind of clued me in as to where you're at. And to start out so that we're all kind of on the same page in terms of knowing where each other are at, and also so I can have a clearer sense of where everybody's at, we'll do a check-in as we usually do and let each other or let the group know how we're doing, how we're feeling, and then share an update where we're at in the coaching journey so far. And then after we do a round of shares, then I'm going to open it up to Q&A. I think there's probably some questions coming up since you ladies have been buddy coaching and looking into the material more and learning new tools. So we'll do some Q&A. So I'm going to hold space this call for kind of more of a social check-in, tuning in, tapping in, and then Q&A for probably half an hour to 45 minutes. And then we're going to segue into some specific themes around the coaching dynamic. And we'll be talking about articulating, AKA kind of providing feedback or mirroring what our coaches are telling us and how to actively and accurately use that skill. And then we're also going to talk about direct communication as well and how to be direct with our clients in a variety of different ways. And we're going to do some role plays as we dive into those themes. And then kind of based on what comes up in the shares and the Q&A, that will help me tune into where to go next, kind of on the tail end of this call, prepping for the next phase of the journey here. There's a lot of, you know, any road we can take, I'm definitely developing this organically as we move along to stay in step with you ladies. So we will be getting into the like biz dev part of coaching in the not too distant future once we kind of get, once you feel like you have a good grasp on what coaching is and you've been doing some buddy coaching, then we'll start talking about how to, you know, not only be a coach, but become a professional coach and the biz dev side of things too. So we'll talk about ideal clients and niching and all that good stuff in the next couple of weeks. So let's dive into it. I think that must be Eustace calling in, 971. Yeah, of course it is. Okay. I see you, Stacey. Hi, Herky. I see that you just joined too. Yay. Gang's all here. Cool. So let's go ahead and do a check-in. And let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think Aliana may or may not be able to share. I'm just kind of dividing up the time here. Yeah, so we have about 5 minutes each, 5, 6 minutes per person. So let us know, how are you feeling right now? How are you doing? Just like, help us tune in with you, and then feel free to update with anything related to the coaching journey, foundations, buddy coaching, etc. And we'll just kind of tune in with each other before we start actually diving into the learning. So I'll start with Kim. Unless you're still eating, is that okay, yeah. Kim?
Oh no. Okay. Hello, everybody. I am feeling energized today, actually. So that's great. And awesome. A little lighter. Leah and I had a great practice session, which did not feel like practice at all. For me, the coachee, I felt like I was really being I was authentically being coached by someone who was already well into the practice, but she helped me process through some things, and she will be so happy to know that I did go near a tree to touch a leaf today to feel a connection as I was coming back from taking the trash out. So, so I do feel lighter. I continue to process through some of my thoughts behind my feelings. So it was super cool. So today I did some housework, and I talked to a few people on the phone. I did some reading and some journaling. So it's been a good day. Where I am, is this where we're saying where we are?
Yeah.
Okay. I think if the last one you assigned was 5, then I'm caught up with the reading. If you went any further than that, I don't know. Curiosity was the last one. I don't know. So I'm on chapter 5.
It was 6 and 7 were the last two.
Oh, then I might be on 7. I don't know. Self-management. I'm somewhere around.
Yeah, that sounds right.
If you didn't assign, I was caught up. I remember last week I raised my hand and said I was caught up. So if you didn't assign 6 and 7 this week, if this is still from last week.
This is from the last time we met.
Okay.
Class. Yeah.
Then I'm caught up.
Awesome.
And I did 2 practice sessions already, one with Herky, which was super cool and funny. We laughed a lot at the beginning. And one with Leah, but I did not submit my paperwork yet, the evaluations. I have one done. I'm partly done with the one with Leah.
Great. All right. So you're pretty much caught up. You've got a couple of sessions under your belt. You're feeling better. You're feeling lighter. You're feeling energized. I'm happy about this report, Ms. Kim. This is great. Yes.
What I do need to improve on, though, is that one activity you gave us at the beginning, with checking ourselves and then checking other, observing other people, I have not kept up with that as consistently as I could.
Okay. Thanks for mentioning that. Okay. Let's circle back around to that at the end of this call as we set action items, because I have a sense that maybe some of the other ladies in the group would like to kind of dial that back in as well, so we can talk about how to actually like keep that on top of mind. Remind me. Okay. Awesome. Thank you. Cool. All right, Ms. Kim, any highlights, ahas, takeaways, or major challenges?
Okay. So ahas would have to be allowing everyday conversations not to necessarily be coaching, but to be able to listen and do the same thing as far as listening, you know, and letting it kind of happen organically. When Leah and I were on a call, it was a aha moment, because it was just so smooth that I didn't know a call was happening. She asked one question and I was like, ah! You know, so So to kind of just, you know, let loose and let it just, I've experienced it before, but I don't know, I guess because we were supposed to be practicing that I was more like, okay, here we go. Yeah. And she was just like, didn't even know it was occurring, you know, so that was cool. So that was an aha thing for me to open myself up to doing that more often. Cause, which I guess happens when you get to know people, but it was just cool. Challenge, I guess that would be the same. Challenge myself to allow that to happen. And then what was the other one? Challenge, aha moment, and
takeaway, highlight, aha, or challenge.
Oh, takeaway. I'm enjoying talking to everybody. Like, I just have to say, it's cool. Herky and I talk fairly often. So it was nice to, you know, just check in with each other. We had some of the same issues, and our next one, even if it's not assigned, is going to be on consistency. So we are on it.
Nice.
But it was nice talking to Leah, and I don't think I've talked to Stacy, so I'm looking forward to that too, because they're, you know, people that I don't get to usually talk to one-on-one. And Aliana, a little bit, we talked maybe through text, but never, I don't think, besides here face-to-face. So I'm enjoying that.
Yay. Awesome. Thanks, Ms. Kim. Appreciate these shares. And feel free, I'm just going to say this, like, feel free to connect with each other outside of the, like, assigned buddy partnerships every week. You ladies are welcome to, like, again, coach your asses off. So by all means, if you feel like you'd like to have more connection time with someone, or if you'd like to practice with them or support them, you know, feel free to reach out. And Leah, I did see your note about a contact sheet. We don't have one, but I can certainly invite everybody to add their info to a Google Doc. And then that way you all have your each other's info. So cool. Thanks for that ask. Good call. Cool. All right. So let's go to Herky. How you doing, Herky? You joined late, so I'm not sure if you heard the, like, kind of rhythm of the check-in. So check in, let us know how are you doing, like, right now in the moment, and then any updates, check-ins from the past couple of weeks since we took a break, and then, any highlights, challenges, takeaways.
Sure. Everyone, I'm doing good. I guess today was a little, I have, this is me and the boys, so my daughter and my mom are out. Two of my support pillars are out, so, it was still okay, I just got late doing some things, and I might get called again, so excuse me if that happens.
Okay.
I did two sessions, like I said, one with Kim, one with Aliana, and they were very fruitful, I first of all enjoyed the connection, you know, that we have, and I feel like we should all be, like, doing this at least, you know, women one-on-one, you know, like, it just helps so much to coach each other. It's like, you know, you get a perspective and you get to share. And then you also realize how so many of our issues are common. You know, we share the shared humanity, what they talk about. And then my aha takeaway from the call was, like, you know, with Kim, she asked a very important question, a breakthrough question in terms of what is the discrepancy? And I'm like, oh, you know, so that was.
What was the question?
It was talking about, I spoke about social media and stuff, and I was telling her there's this sales side of it and there's this side of it. And on those lines, and she was saying, why do you see a discrepancy between the two? For example, I think I said there's a testimonial, and then there's some people giving feedback from the heart that they enjoyed the coaching. And she was trying to say, why is there, like, do you feel the gap between the two? So I guess if you hear the call, you'll get more context as to what I'm talking, but it was very enlightening to just, you know, hear, and that I have been doing that. So it's always, I feel like being coached is also so interesting because there are so many blind spots that you'll never see. And coaching someone is also, you know, I enjoyed that too. You know, Kim spoke on some things which I had struggled with, and, you know, you're sharing that and trying to refrain from giving. And then after the call, I'm like, okay, now the coaching hat is off. Let me tell you what I did. what I watched on Oprah and how we beat this. And and so we went on that too. And then with Aliana also yesterday, it was really good because I told her, like, in terms of my ideal client, I was a spiritual side to it. And then how much she, you know, like when she asked me to close my eyes and imagine the retreat and what I feel like, it helped me tune in so much. And she reinforced that there is a clientele. I was telling her about choosing a niche. And I think I just heard you that you might be covering that. That's something I'm definitely interested in. I guess I'll ask that question later. But so then she was, you know, her walking me through and also like the genuine reassurance of how there is a clientele on this side of too. So it was very, I was very encouraged after her call too. And then I shared with her on some of my night meditation and stuff. So like I said, it was a mutual share. Yeah,
what
a good experience.
Yeah. Lovely. Oh, that's so wonderful. Thanks for sharing that. And I appreciate that you refrained from advice giving until after the call. It's hard, especially when we know each other so well. It's like casual, you know, like distinguishing the casual to the coaching, the formal coaching containers. It can be kind of slippery, which I'll speak to after we do the sharing round here. But yeah, sure. Thanks, Hoki. And yes, we will be definitely talking about niche either like next week or the week after. And I'll be hosting office hours around biz dev stuff too. So you can always come and ask then as well. Okay. Sure. Great. Let's see, Miss Leah. Hi.
Hello. Sorry, I keep getting a little thing saying my internet's unstable. That's why I'm flipping my camera off.
Gotcha. No worries.
So if I start freezing, let me know.
Okay. Good to see you.
Yeah. Good seeing all of you. So I am doing well. I'm still drowning at work and at home.
Oh, you're breathing. No.
Shifted my focus from.
You're breaking up, Leah. I don't know if you can hear me. We might have to turn video off.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Darn it. Yes, I can hear you now, I think. No, I cannot
hear you. Can
you
hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure why it's saying I have unstable internet. I've been fine all day. Can you still hear me?
It's choppy. It's in and out.
Why don't you call someone else and then I'll dial in on my phone?
Okay.
Well, that
works. that's totally fine. Absolutely.
Okay.
All right. Ashley, we'll go to you.
Awesome. Hey, everyone. How am I today? I'm feeling good. I'm busy, but upbeat. So it's been an overall good day and good couple of days. And also had a really great lunch with somebody who I haven't connected with in a while, and they're interested in coaching, which is also why they wanted to, talk to me. So Fawn, I'll be sending her your information because I spoke very highly of you. And obviously, she's interested in becoming a coach. Sorry. That's what I should have said. Not just coaching in general. If it was coaching in general, I would have been like,
yeah, I was like, hey, what?
Talk to me. Yeah. No, but because she's also interested in becoming a coach, that's why.
Thank you.
Had it on her mind for actually several years for now. So anyway, and it was just nice to connect with her, and we had a socially distanced lunch, and it was actually nice to connect with somebody in person and another like-minded in person. Like, I love you guys and I love seeing you on Zoom, but it's also nice to see people in person. who share similar mindsets and values that you do too. I mean, not that my husband doesn't, but I see him all the time. So, and so that was good. It just was a good day. It's been busy with my consulting stuff, but I had a really good second session with one of my clients yesterday, and that went really well. I am realizing, and even this was through one of my buddy coaching calls with Stacy, she helped me identify that my ego is getting in the way, basically, but confidence in general is getting in the way probably of some of my stuff, because I feel like I need to have like all of this experience or be so, I don't know, because I'm a new coach, it's impacting my confidence in coaching in some ways. And it may also be, and Fawn and I talked about this actually the next day, and she brought it up separately, which was kind of interesting that it was both, like, Fawn felt that and Stacey felt that too from talking to me, that I just, that maybe I'm putting out something from an energetic level in terms of my confidence and wanting and still need to gain some more experience, even though I'm also trying to get coaching. And even also yesterday after having that second session with Rosemary, or one of my clients, and then talking it through with Fawn and Kim last night on separate call, I just in reflecting in that, it's like, I'm still like, I did, like, talking to Fawn about it. Yes, I did everything I was supposed to, like, that I felt into, and I followed my gut on it, but I think I'm still looking for that validation in terms of, am I doing it the right way, or is what I did and recommended the right thing to do, or the best thing to do, or whatever. So I think some of that where it sounds like maybe, and this is one of my ha's, where I should just probably trust my intuition, because it seems to be leading me in the right way. So, but to also just to coach my ass off and to get more experience, like more practice. And I think that will instill more confidence in, like, whether it's from my clients or from you guys or just from people that I come across, that will help in terms of, you know, instilling more confidence in my coaching. So there's that. Have done two buddy coaching calls with Stacy and Leah. Both were great. And like I just talked about, the one with Stacy, that was super insightful and for me. And I have not done the debriefs from those, but I need to. I've been meaning to ping Stacy to ask for the recording for that, because I do want to go back and listen to it. And what else? I think that's, oh, the chapters, I'm reading a million books right now. They are all personal development or coaching related, so I keep
forgetting. You can blame me.
I know, that's all your fault. That's your fault, Vaughn. I have read Coactive before, so that's why I keep forgetting to, like, put it out and reread it. So I need to put it on my desk as, like, a visual reminder so I can go back and reread the chapters that we're reading. So I think I'm only to two or three on my reread of it, chapter two or three. And yeah, I think that's it. I think, I mean, a lot of it's just been around the fact that I need to trust myself more with my coaching. And I think for me, getting experience is a very important thing. And I need to just get that and it may be impacting, you know, a lot of these on an energetic level and also just me personally. So I just need to get out there and get more experience, whether that's getting creative with, like Fawn, you and I talked about, like, different types of packages and stuff, or Stacey and I talked about pro bono. Stacey, I did reach out to my cousin and she does want to do it. So that's all good. She needs it, and I'm looking forward to helping her. But yeah, so we're going to do that, and yeah, just getting creative about getting different, getting experience. So
awesome. Yeah, thanks for that share. That's I'll circle back around to some of those themes tonight as well, but I appreciate you sharing that with the rest of the group, because I have, raise your hand if you can relate with some aspect of what Ashley's sharing around feeling like getting more experience will be beneficial in feeling more maybe at ease or in flow, or just less, I don't know, more confident. Yeah, it's definitely a common theme. So thanks for speaking to that. And hell yeah, I'm so excited that your cousin is up for the yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's awesome.
I'm excited. It'll be fun. And yeah. It's a win-win for both of us, so it'll be great.
Yeah. Yay. Yeah. Beautiful. Let's see. I'll go to Leah, are you? Yeah, you called in. Cool. I think.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Smart. You can run the video and the audio on the phone. Genius.
Yeah. So if I start freezing up, I'll turn the camera off.
Okay.
Did I already freeze up?
We can hear you, but the video is frozen.
Perfect. Okay. So in any case, I don't know what you caught before, but I am still drowning at work and at home. But I shifted my end game from getting all of these things done. And I focused on two different things where I am not feeling guilt about asking for help or relying on others to pick up some of the slack around home and also delegating at work. Mm-hmm. And I also learned a way to think a little bit differently to relieve some of the pressure on myself. Instead of thinking I should get this done today or this week, I started changing that into I might accomplish that this week, which just alleviates some of that pressure and makes it feel like something I get to celebrate, like, yay, I got that done, mm-hmm. instead of the pressure of finally that's checked off the list. Mm-hmm. So that has helped a lot. Otherwise, you know, it's summer in Sandpoint. We just bought a pontoon boat and we go out on that pretty much every evening and watch the comet shows. And last night we went out meteor watching. So very blessed and feeling much more balanced, and it's beautiful here. So where I'm at in coaching, I did my coaching with Ashley, but I don't think we had the form when Ashley and I did it, and I don't know if I could – I don't think we recorded it, and I don't know if I could really honestly answer all the questions, but I will try. I just sent you the one with Kim, and I really appreciated talking with Kim. I enjoyed talking with Ashley, but I was more focused on my form than experience when I was talking with Ashley. And when I went into it with Kim, I was focusing more on just the experience and paying attention to where I might have opportunities instead of having like a flow that I'm supposed to follow in my head. I haven't connected with Aliana yet, and I have not been focusing on the TBR and reversing that. And Fauna, I was hoping we can maybe have some one-on-one this week, because I want to talk about that and some like neurological stuff that I'm digging into and how I can kind of combine those two philosophies together. And then I need to go back to the last section I did on the unit 3 was the 3.2 practice of waking up. So I need to go back and pick some of that up. But otherwise, I did chapters 6 through 8 in my coaching and reviewing ISC. However, that was one of my aha moments was Leslie, who, you know, I'm renting her office, had given me a call and was asking if she could hear my experience and offer some of her mentoring for everyone else. I just happened to rent an office of a life coach for 27 years. and right when I decided to do this, And so she was asking my experience, and I was telling her that I was really struggling going from what's intuitive to what's intentional, and having a form and a format, and feeling the pressures of IFC. And she said something really funny. She said, "Fuck them, they're not going to arrest you."
Awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. She was like, "That's a guide so that we're professionals." But she was like, "You can't let like the form," and it's really good that we're learning this form and everything, but I was sort of behaving like there was a Stanford SAT test at the end that I was studying for, and if I didn't have it memorized and get an A, I was going to be the world's worst coach and you're going to like fire me or something. And so when I let go of that perfectionism that I tend to carry in everything I do and go, oh, this is like resources that don't go away and I can go back and reference them. And like when I was listening to your recording with Aliana, and you were saying, you know, sometimes you're going to be like, I have this thing I know about that I can't think of right this second. Like a lot of what we're learning is going to be that for me, as many as other things, and you guys as resources that I don't have to commit to memory and recite backwards and forwards and know which unit it was in, which was decreasing my joy of the experience by letting it become that sort of task thing that I was trying to absorb everything and writing notes and rewriting notes and listening and talking. And then I just realized, oh, I don't have to. So that was definitely an aha moment for me. But it's going to be a challenge because, as you know, I like to obsess on my perfectionism. So I'm going to have to remind myself there will be no arresting or firing on this journey.
Thanks, Leah. Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Did you have something?
Nope, I was just saying that's it.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much for your honesty and vulnerability in sharing that, and for talking to Leslie Vallely. And I'm so glad that she's in the camp that I'm in, of like the ICF, of like, you know, let's learn the framework so that we can do whatever we want after that, right? So I appreciate her approach to that too, because I respect her work definitely. And thank you for, yeah, so for checking in with her, and then for giving yourself permission to kind of notice what was happening in that perfectionism, and in maybe holding yourself to a more rigid, like, knowingness of it or perfection of it, and then allowing yourself to like shake loose a bit and be more improvisational. And it sounds like that worked really well in your call with Kim. So I just love your process around that for sure. Thank you. Is anyone else experiencing feelings around like trying to remember all the things and follow the format, and then that like feeling like it's in the way of like the natural flow? A little bit. Okay. Cool. Yeah. Well, it's totally normal. And just like with any learning anything new, learning the technique and learning the how of it is, it's kind of awkward at first to feel that flow and to feel the naturalness of it and be able to improvise or be able to do things on a more automatic level. So again, and Leah, thanks for speaking to this again. We are learning the rules and the techniques and the frameworks so that then we do have them in pockets and know there will be no test necessarily, especially not one like, nothing rigid. It's more about the connection and the coaching itself, but I just love your share around that, Leah. Thank you. Appreciate your honesty.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to, I think, Stacey's our last check-in. Hi, Stace. Good to see you.
Hi, good to see you, too. I think I've shared with a couple of you guys, and maybe you've seen it on the news and stuff like that, but Portland has really been in a really big state of crisis. And not necessarily what you're seeing on the news, because that's really contained to about a 3-block radius. But it's, not to get political at all, but it's very much the only humanitarian crisis I've ever had this close, where it's like touching every part of my community. And we've had kind of these troops in here grabbing people that are not marked, that are not saying, they're not giving Miranda rights. They're just grabbing them, taking them in unmarked cars and taking them to the police stations, hurting people, like doctors, people, just human beings. It's like it's weighed so heavy on me. I feel like my life has just like paused for a second for 2 weeks. And it's kind of daily conversations with my community of women where we're just talking on the phone of how we can help, and everyone's crying, and it's a really big deal. It's really, really heavy, and it's a really big deal, and it's not like anything I've ever experienced before, and it does not feel like the United States at all. It feels like we're living in a different country, to be completely honest. And so it's just been hard to go through that and then just be like, oh, and I'm going to do this. Like, nothing feels important to me in the last 2 weeks since this has happened. Nothing has felt, I've had my coaching calls, which have been super helpful with Aliana and Ashley, and nothing besides human connection feels important. It all feels trivial, to be honest. But they are leaving on Thursday. So on Thursday, we got the report that they're having to excavate and they have to leave. So hallelujah. I have like chills. I feel so relieved. And I'm not someone who like gets all up, and not that I'm against protests, but like, I'm just not, this is like a different thing. I'm telling you guys, being here on the streets in the trenches, this is a way different thing than I've ever seen before. It's not okay. Not okay what's going on. And so now that I feel like a weight lifted. I think we all do. We're like, okay, we're not under siege anymore. People, who cares about the protests? That's not even the thing, right? It's just about human rights and about freedom of speech and appreciation for a human life, you know? So anyways, that's been all consuming. And once I saw that news today, I was like, oh my God, thank God. I can like breathe again, live my life again. On top of that, I had like I was telling Fawn, I had, I got nominated to do this presentation. It was like a competition within my company for our executive team, basically. And I was doing this like fake sales pitch, and it was super stressful, and we nailed it and got like killer feedback. And I like recorded myself and listened to myself and would go on walks and just listen to myself and listen to myself. And it was really powerful to listen to myself and be like, you know what? Like, you can, you've got this. Like, where's the like lack of confidence in this? And that's been like a really cool journey in the middle of this to just kind of experience and kind of grow some legs. And I had really great sessions with Aliana and Ashley. And I think similar themes came up of like not showing up for myself, or really not like, I don't know if it's confidence or putting myself in that place, but there's something like stirring and growing that's like, I feel growth is happening, but I feel like, you know, when you're in the middle of change and it feels like messy and you almost don't want to tell people about it, because it's like, I'm not coming from a place of like, I got it. I'm coming from a place of like, this is a whirlwind over here. But it's growing and it's morphing into something, and that feels really good. So I'm super overwhelmed with working from home and kids, and we got a message that they're going to be virtual next year. And so it's just a lot of, oh, so many blows all at once is all I can say. The overwhelm of like the, it's just really overwhelming. But I also feel proud, like I'm growing a little bit stronger in myself and like, okay, how am I navigating that? How am I asking for help? How am I, you know? So there's, again, I keep saying it's the same thing every week, right? It's like that same thing where it's like, this is like the worst it's ever been and like the most growth I've ever had. So there's good and bad in it too. So
yeah. Thanks, Stace. Oh my God. I just want to, everybody beam some love at Stace right now. Oh my gosh. The energy that you've been in for the past couple of weeks is unfathomable, and I appreciate your honesty and your vulnerability and your empathy for what's going on and giving yourself permission to experience it in a way that's true for you and not just like compartmentalizing it or doing what all the other things that we can do as human beings to avoid or to, you know, whatever. Your courage in facing into it and being aligned with your values is phenomenal. And I hear that that's also incredibly difficult, incredibly stressful, incredibly challenging, and on top of everything else that's going on, I see you. Yeah. Ooh, and hell yeah, on nailing that presentation. That's a nice upswing in all of it. Yeah,
it felt really good. Yeah, I talked to the vice president of our company. We have a huge $1 billion company, you know, and it's all about presentation and savvy, and like there's words to say, not to say, and blah, blah, blah. It's a whole thing, right? And he's the VP, and I just asked him for feedback, and I told him how nervous I was, and he was like, I didn't get that at all. And I'm like, yes.
Awesome. Yay. Yes, let that be a daily affirmation, like a daily visualization and an affirmation and confirmation of your capability, right? Of your capacity. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really good tool to use with your clients as well, ladies, just since we're on that note. If they're struggling with the I can't or what if I fails or the I'm not good enough or what have you, have them do a reality check in referencing their history and have them identify, you know, scenarios, situations where they have shown up and they have done well and it was hard, but they made it through. And there's a positive confirmation loop that can happen when we do that. So we don't want to create a confirmation bias necessarily, but it is important to remember like these experiences where we were really stretched, we were really challenged, we were nervous as fuck, and then we like showed up and we did it and we're like, oh, yeah, awesome. Thanks, Dave. Okay, let's see. I think I got everybody. Yeah, cool. All right. Oh, Aliana, are you able to check in? I don't want to assume that you can't right now. I think you're in low end mode. Okay. All right. So for the next 15 or so, I'm going to kind of touch on some of the things that you ladies had mentioned in your shares, as well as some related pieces to our coaching journey as well. And then we'll take a break at the hour, and then we'll shift into some coaching practice stuff. All right. So I'll speak to what Kim and Leah had both spoken to with regard to the formality of the coaching session container in the buddy coaching and like out there in the world. So the framework is there to learn and practice, but it's not a have to. Dear God, no, is it? It's not a have to. Nothing that we are studying is an absolute. I don't believe in absolutes. There's no necessarily right or wrong. I think that there's an application and a time and a place for most, you know, most techniques and most approaches. And so the framework is, it exists because, I mean, there are reasons that it exists, but it's not a must. One of the things that that framework is helpful for is that it has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And psychologically speaking, whenever we experience something, it's helpful to our systems and to our brains and our emotions to have a beginning, a middle, and an end in a lot of situations, at least. So it creates some trust and some safety as well. So there's like a delineation around, okay, we're starting now, or like, let's go ahead and dive into our coaching session, or like some kind of a mention of that. If you are kind of doing a looser approach around the framework, I would just suggest that you do some kind of a hitting the start button. It doesn't have to be all awkward and formal, but in some way address that so that the other person knows that that's what's happening, so that there's a mutual understanding. And then I do encourage you to practice the framework at least a handful of times so that you can get the ropes. And then, but in other sessions, like, you don't have to do every single session with the like absolute framework. You can, you know, do one every other one or whatever. But the point being is that it's like learning scales on an instrument, where it's really helpful to know like a major scale, but then you can start to improvise around the major scale. So that's just something that came up for me in noticing what Kim was sharing around, like, not really like loving the conversationality of it and loving the flow of it, but maybe not necessarily knowing like when it was starting or like if she was in the session or like is it a conversation, which is awesome, right? Like, conversational coaching, I love, you ladies all know that. Like, I really love flow. I love informality for sure. But for the sake of like learning the ropes, I would suggest that there's like a start, and then a wrap out as well. Sometimes it's, tempting to just like feel complete with the conversation and then without having an outro kind of hang up the call. But it's so important to establish those, you know, review what was covered, establish the takeaways and the action items, and then wrap it out from there. So that container is helpful for the client, but also for us to know that, okay, like we just did this thing. Leah, did you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, I think my issue, I think that is important, but I think I was confused, like when it says focus on skills number 2 and number 6, I think that's where I was getting lost in, are we starting this and I'm going to practice skill number 2 and then number 6, or am I going 1 through? And then worrying about that was where I was losing that. So I think that was my own thing, just for you to know. The flow there was, I was getting hung up on that. But I think that it is extremely helpful to have the framework. And I also think having focused on number 2 and number 6, I was able to see the difference between when I started with Ashley and was trying to figure out all of them in a short time frame.
Thank you for that clarity. Okay, yeah, that helps me to understand where you were at in that process as well. Yeah, so yeah, there's the framework and then there's the core competencies that are like embedded into the framework, right? And it's like, how many balls am I juggling right now? And I'm supposed to tune into my client? This is crazy. Yeah, so totally hear that. Thanks for speaking to that. And it's totally okay to practice just like one thing at a time. So if you want to focus on framework and flow, you know, and since you guys are buddy coaching, you can let each other know also like, hey, I'm just going to be focusing on like the framework right now. Is that okay? Or whatever. Or I'm going to be focusing on my active listening and my direct communication, you know, and just let them know. And that's great. Like, it's totally fine to, this is buddy coaching. It's informal. This isn't, you know, this isn't on the record. So I totally support that. In fact, sometimes it's helpful to just do one thing at a time. And like, you know, maybe one day you're just practicing active listening with someone. You're not even doing the framework. You're just like, I'm just going to give you feedback for 45 minutes. Or like, I'm just going to reframe what you said and like give you and articulate that back to you. So there's a lot of flexibility within this. So Leah, I appreciate the mention around that, because there is a lot kind of going on at once. Cool. Okay, there's something else I wanted to mention here. Let's see. So starting next week, I'm going to be offering a pro bono session to each of you. So you each will get one comp session. And as long as you're okay with it being recorded for demonstration purposes. So the timeline of that, I wanted you ladies to dive into it yourselves without me necessarily like modeling it for you in front of each other, or like having a demonstration call, which might sound counterintuitive, but I wanted you to get your own feel for what you're doing and like try it on without any sort of like impression around like how Fawn coaches, because how I coach is not how any of you are going to coach, hopefully. So that's why I had you kind of start and just dive into it and kind of get messy and go for it. Even though a lot of you have been my clients, I just wanted to keep the slate as clean as possible going into this, so there's no like bias around my style or my technique necessarily. So from here, now that you've had some experience and you're starting to learn, you know, all these different balls that you're juggling and integrating, starting next week, I'm going to do demo sessions with you ladies. Whoever is interested or would like to, I'll have a sign-up sheet and we'll record those, and then those will be available for the group to listen into. And I'll be demonstrating, probably first, I'll be demonstrating like the traditional framework and like kind of starting in the way that you all started with learning the way to do it, and then breaking script probably for some of the later ones so that you can get a sense of what that might look like or the improvisation around that. So I want you to have references around coaching sessions, and by all means, I'm not saying like that my way is the way in any mean by any means. So I'm also going to be linking into the foundations folder. I'll be linking Rich Littman's YouTube channel, his coaching, YouTube channel, where he records his live coaching sessions, and they're fucking mind blowing. Some of them are like, what? So he's always a good reference. He's one of my faves, as you know. And then I also have a coach training program from Christian Mickelson, who's one of the bigger names in the field. And I have his program. I have the MP3s, so I'm going to put those in the folder as well for you ladies to listen into. So I'm going to try to source as many references for you to listen to and get a sense of, so that you have more of a reference point around what a coaching session actually is, looks like, and the flow of it. So there's that. And any questions about that? Does that sound okay for everyone? Okay, cool. And might be, I think that's it here. One more thing. So taking it from the intuitive to the intentional, I really liked how you phrased that, Leah. It's a dance. It is like riding a bike, where you've got speed and you've got balance at the same time. And together, like, it's wobbly at first. It's like, am I intuitive or am I like, you know, strategic right now? But again, coach your asses off. The more you do this, the more in flow it's going to be to like know, like get that balance and know when to accelerate or know when to do whatever. I don't know if that metaphor necessarily works exactly, but it's beautiful that you are tuning into that, Leah, and like noticing the distinction of like, I want to go off leash right now, or like, I need a framework. Yeah. Cool. All right, so let's go ahead and take a quick break, maybe 3 minutes or so, and then we're going to go ahead and shift into some of the coaching skills, and we're going to practice as a group around some stuff. So let's come back at the hour. Does that sound good? Awesome. Oh, Kim's outside. Is that your patio, Kim?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Not to sit in the dark today.
There you go. Awesome. Love it.
What's it like there weather-wise, Fawn?
Oh, my gosh. I was thinking of you today.
You were.
Yeah, so I went to PV this morning. I got the 740 boat, and so it's like dawn, you know, and I'm taking the boat, and it's like the mountains are so green, and uh-huh. the sky was so blue, and these giant puffy cumulus clouds were like hovering over the mountains, and then on my way back, same thing. I was like, oh my, like, I was like in awe of this place.
I was like, but I can't, I've only been there in the summer 1 year. And then, well, probably around this time. That was that first time I went. And then it's been November since then. Mm-hmm. So I don't even see it outside of that season, you know?
Yeah. This is the latest I've been here. So it's like gorgeous in the mornings most of the time. And then it was like downpour right before this call, the power went out, the rain came down, we have lightning storms at night, so it does this like really interesting, like all cool. kinds of weather patterns. Yeah,
that's amazing. Yeah. I have a couple friends from there on Facebook. I feel like I read something like, go get your supplies, like, is there something about PV that's like might be shutting down or something?
Oh, maybe PV might be shutting down again because of COVID. I'm not sure.
Oh, got it.
Maybe. Yeah. Could be anything. Could be floods, could be PV, could be a hurricane, you know. It's just, you know, living on the Mexican coast.
You, I know, you truly are, like, on the tip of all of it.
Yep.
Great one.
All right, ladies, let's circle back around and dive into some learning. So I would love to... I would love to have some conversation around the skill of reflecting, and then we'll shift into direct communication because that's kind of a, like a next level there. So this is mentioned in the Coactive book, which I'm grateful for, but it's something that could also just be like kind of cruised over really quickly. So I wanted to make sure that we take a pit stop here and really notice it. So reflecting is a part of listening. And to distinguish what it is and what it isn't, reflecting isn't, it's not empathizing, it's not sharing like stories. It's not anything to do with us at all. Like, we are not a part of the reflection that's happening. What it is a vocalized expression of, I see you, I hear you, or do I hear you, do I see you accurately? And this is really important. It's so important to A, make sure that we actually are on the same page as our client in terms of what it is they're talking about. And also so that they feel seen and heard and understood. So I'll kind of start with the first layer of that. On our last call, I gave an example of a client session I had where he was sharing that he wanted to be more confident. And I could have, and, you know, it's totally normal to do this, could have gone with that, continued forward in the conversation, like, oh, okay, confidence, so what would that look like? You know, kind of get into the brainstorming of it. But because I have a sense that these things are very individual, like we, for most words or most concepts, there might be a lot of overlap amongst most people, but there's definitely some nuance. And what I consider to be confidence is very different than somebody else. And that turned out to be true. So the clarification aspect of reflection is massively important, especially at the beginning when the client is sharing their vision with us or they're sharing their goal or their, we talked about this last call too, when they're sharing what it is they want or what they don't want or what their experience is, if they use any kind of like general broad terminology or something that doesn't have like a textbook, you know, definition that might have some under like some nuance and understanding around, it is our, it behooves the conversation so much to reflect back through the art of, or through the act of clarification. So that could be through asking them to clarify for us what that means to them, right? So what does confidence mean to you? What does that look like? How do you know when you see confidence? How do you know when you feel confident? How do you know when you don't feel confident? So really inviting them to share their world with us so that we can step into their world with them. This, when we don't do this, and it, again, it happens, it's totally okay. You know, we learn along the way. But when we don't clarify, what can happen is our world is over here. My definition of confidence, actually, that's funny. I'm in this exact conversation right now with somebody. Just realized that. I have my definition of confidence over here. And they have their definition of confidence. And we think, this happens in relationships a lot, does it not? Where we think we're on the same page talking about the same thing, but really we're in two different worlds instead of being in like one world. So it's really important to tune in, check in, get clarity. Okay, you know, so I think what I'm hearing you say is this. So that's articulating and clarity can clarifying can happen in the same moment in a way where we're inviting them to clarify with us. And then we can use articulation and reflection to make sure that we got it right. That we are picking up what they're laying down and that we're on the same page with them. And this is important to do first thing. If the need arises, it's so important because the rest of the conversation is be predicated on this, right? So we want to, and it might even take 20, 30 minutes, like, and that's okay, right? It's more important that we get on the same page than it is to kind of get to whatever we're trying to get to. Sometimes articulating what the thing means to them is the session, and it's massively valuable for them. So when we're reflecting it back to them in terms of the clarity piece, we can use language like, so if I'm understanding you correctly, confidence to you is when dot, dot, dot. Or it sounds like you feel really confident when you're, you know, dot, dot, dot. I think what I'm hearing you say is that confidence is this, but then confidence is not this, right? So we want to reflect it back to them. And again, as a dual purpose, we make sure we're on the same page and they have an opportunity to course correct us as well. And that is super, super empowering. And that may have even happened already in some of the conversations here. I think it has, where we can ask for clarity and they might be like, no, that's not exactly the thing. It's more like this, right? So sometimes when we're asking for clarity articulation, it's not going to be what they're trying to, like, maybe they even said those words. This happens a lot where they say the words and then they hear it back and they're like, I know I said that, but that's not what I was trying to say, right? So this whole process of peeling back the layers and getting clear and reflecting it back to them it's so mutually beneficial. Oh my gosh. And like in relationships, the world would be such a different place if we just did this all the time. But certainly with our clients, this is really important. And another layer underneath this around the importance is that people's definitions of the world, their models of the world are oftentimes, to most degree, programmed. They're adopting it from culture. They're adopting it from their peers, et cetera. So, and that's normal, and that's also totally okay. But what we want to invite them into is an intentional understanding of whatever it is that they're wanting. So if they're wanting more confidence, and they think confidence is this, right, and maybe we have a sense or we have a curiosity or maybe an intuition that this sounds a little bit contrived. It might sound a little bit like, you know, regurgitation of something else from somewhere else. We can tune in with them. And this is deep coaching stuff, but I'm saying it because I truly believe in the power of helping them really examine their paradigms, which includes their definitions and their models of the world. So using my example from a couple of weeks ago, when we dug into this confidence word and his definitions of it, what he had thought was confidence was this out in the future thing, that a destination that he had to get to, and he couldn't be confident until he arrived there. But once we started to explore it and I was challenging him, I was definitely using direct communication and asking for permission to do so, but I was really inviting the exploration around that. And he realized that confidence is something that can be moment to moment. And yes, it can build and it can grow, but he doesn't have to wait. It's something that you can have right now. So there's the making sure we're on the same page as the client, which is kind of, I mean, that's important. That's great if that happens. But then we can even go deeper and get curious about, is this actually true for them? Or is this, can we support them in creating their own definition of this or their own paradigm of this that would be better supportive of their goals and their aim and their thriving? So does that make sense? Okay. Questions about that? Herky, yeah.
So when the example you gave that their definition might be limited or conditioned, how did you start? You said you asked for permission and stuff. How did you segue the conversation into like, or challenging their belief? I mean, if somebody comes out and I'm like, I don't know, some odd statement, yeah, like maybe confidence example you gave, and I said, no, I have to be first confident before I get married or whatever, before I start my business. Otherwise, I cannot. If I say something like that, and that's why I need it, I'm just wondering, like, what would you tell me?
So I think what I'm hearing you ask is if you have a firm belief or story around, I need to be X, Y, or Z in order to be confident.
Right.
Right. So I would probably start getting curious about the logic system that is behind that.
Let's say you do know the logic behind it. You know, this is my fourth, fifth session with you, so you kind of have an idea of where it's probably stemming from.
I would have gone through the process with you of identifying where that belief comes from.
Yeah.
Okay. So I get curious about, is it serving you? Let's look at how this is impacting you, how this is, affecting your life. And if it were, I mean, most likely it's not doing a ton of good on a, you know, deep level. I would also... challenge it in the respect of what would happen, what else is possible, right? Like what other approaches to confidence have you seen other people embody, or what else is possible with this? What is it? Is this something that you truly believe is supporting and aligned with your best self, or... not so much.
Yeah.
So pointing out the incongruence between, like, if I have a sense that it's not congruent with who they want to be or the life they want to create, then I'll ask questions to help them see that there's like a misalignment there.
Yeah. In fact, the first one you said, is it serving you? I have actually used it. Now I remember. And that usually catches them, you know, like when they're so stuck in their story. But the other one, what else is possible, is also a good way. And is it truly aligned with yours? So thanks. Yeah.
Awesome. Great question. Yeah. And I will, pretty early on with my clients, share with them the like thoughts and beliefs, right? So the module 3 stuff, belief systems, thoughts, stories, paradigms, that they have this belief, they can keep it and defend it and, but they don't have to, right? Kind of reminding them that they can swap it out for a different tape that is more aligned.
Right. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
In fact, this came up the other day, I think, with Ashley and I were having a conversation. What can happen, though, is that people can get, like, we're attached to those belief systems sometimes, even if we're aware that they're not serving us, right? Even if we know that this isn't good for me to be, like, playing in my mind. There's also, it's almost like Stockholm effect, where they like fall in love with their captor. So sometimes our beliefs, like they're sabotaging us, but they're also kind of a safe place because they've been around for so long. And it's like, who am I going to be if I let go of this belief? Shit. This will happen, especially around bigger paradigms, around perfectionism, around conformity, around success, around money, around like big things like that have really been lodged in there. So they'll realize that, okay, this isn't serving me, but it's like, but they'll also kind of be still protective of it and almost like defend it. And that's normal. That's very human behavior. Because without going into this too much right now, what's happening is the belief is there because at some time it probably protected them. It probably helped them along the line, probably in childhood. And so it's like a dear friend in a way, even though it's like outdated. So you can kind of think of it like an expired operating system, right? Like Windows 98 used to be badass, but now Windows 98, not so much, but it did serve me to a certain point. So So if we find that our client is being defiant, right? If for example, you were like, no, like I have to wait for confidence. It makes no sense that I can be confident right now. Like if that's the case, then there's no rules at all. You know, if they start to like really defend their belief, we can get direct with them and really check that out. You know, it sounds like you really want to keep this belief with you, and that's totally okay. You can do whatever you want to do, but we've seen that there's an incongruency between it's not serving you, but yet you want to keep it. So like, let's explore there a bit.
At that point, and just to speak to that point a little bit, is it serving you, that help, and like what you're saying? And also the second thing, like you said, at some point that helped them. And I actually let the client know, because I remember you telling me once at some point, I asked you, how could I tolerate this? Why did I not do this? And you said, you know, at some point the fight, flight, freeze helps, otherwise the psyche cracks. I think that's the word you used, if we don't. And it's helpful for us, so because then they can become very not forgiving to their own, you know, why did they hold on to it? And the whole thing of self-forgiveness starts coming. So sometimes I also just mentioned how certain beliefs have served us at some point and how sometimes it's time to let go of them. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for that. Yep. I'll be speaking to this more deeply for those of you who are like, what are we talking about? I'll be speaking to this more deeply on a bonus that I'll record later in our journey around inner child and belief system healing through that process. Usually if we have beliefs that are, if we're acting out, behaving in a way that we're getting results that are not congruent with who we want to be right now, it's oftentimes because there's an old operating system installed in the past to help us stay safe or to serve us, or that it was so bludgeoned into us that letting it go, like we have a bunch of fear around letting it go because it was like such a beaten into us kind of thing. So anyhow, thank you, Harki. Great questions. So any other questions around clarifying, articulating, or clarifying specifically? Somebody? Okay. I'll speak about the second part of this, and then we're going to do a demo together. So, so articulating is also feedback or reflection, like confirmation through reflection. And articulating is when we notice something that's happening in the client, whether it's in the session or there, or what has happened between our calls, and we get to check in with them about that. And it could be something that's going great, something they're implementing. So that's like, we're confirming their, you know, that they're doing the thing. We're celebrating that. We're like, yay. Or it can also be when they're not showing up in the way that they said they wanted to. And all of this, and this probably goes without saying, but all of this is non-judgmental. Like, we have zero ego, zero judgment, zero attachment to any of this as we're checking in with our client. Again, like, we, it's not about us at all. And that's important, because if we're checking in with somebody and we're saying, oh, well, so it sounds like da 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 da, and they're like, no, that's not really it. Sometimes, especially as a new coach, like, our ego can go, fuck, I got it wrong. Like, I'm not listening at level 3. I'm failing, you know? So sometimes it can just be like, just remember to breathe through it. And it's a positive thing if our client is telling us, no, that's not it, because that's helping. That means we just get to keep exploring with them. We get to keep asking them, like, oh, okay, well, help me understand this part. I'm not as clear as I'd like to be about this aspect of it. Let's continue exploring that. So no judgment, no ego, ever. Just kidding, we're human, it's going to happen. So with articulating, if our client says that, you know, they're going to do such and such action item, they come to the session, and they're just kind of like skimming over it in their recap or in our review, we get to say, you know, reflect back to them. So I'm seeing that last week you wanted to work out 3 days of the week and use your affirmations, and you just shared that you did it 1 day of the week. I'm curious to know, you know, what was going on there, or what happened for you, or can you tell me more about that? So this is part of direct, all of this is part of direct communication as far as I'm concerned. Our clients are hiring us and working with us so that to have accountability, to have support, and also because left to their own devices, right, they're not where they want to be. So we get to come in with this very compassionate feedback for them, with them in reflecting what we're seeing, reflecting what we think we're seeing. And again, that's great, because then they can let us know, oh, yeah, I did say 3 days last week, but my daughter got really sick and my husband was out of town and I had to be by her bedside like all week long and I couldn't work out, you know? So then we have more clarity. We're not just jumping to the conclusion or making the assumption that they fell off the, you know, fell off the thing. So it's important for us to articulate that, whether we read the session prep questionnaire and then we look at their action items and we might be like, what? But it's important to address it. Otherwise, it's just slipping through the cracks, right? And that can happen in session as well, where they, oh gosh, yeah, this is a good example. So victim accountable, and I'll be talking about this on like a side bonus thing as well. But so the victim accountable paradigm, I think, is like one of the most important frameworks in the world for anybody to learn. It changed my life and lots of people I know. The simple distinction between, am I showing up accountably or am I playing a victim right now? Like, just that question in any given moment is so freaking powerful. So let's say our client is working on being more accountable, right? They're wanting to shift out of the world is happening to me, and they want to shift into I'm happening in the world, right? And so we're in a session and they're sharing about something or we're exploring something and I'm sensing them slip into victim mode. It's pretty clear, not always, but it's usually pretty clear when somebody is doing victim or accountable. So we get to clarify and we get to point that out and we get to articulate to them, maybe even pause them and check in and say, I'm noticing something like this. Like, I'm noticing something right now that I'd like to take a pause and explore with you. And that's around one of the themes we've been exploring about victim accountable. So which version of yourself was just showing up a few minutes ago? Or which version of yourself was just telling me that story? Or which version of yourself holds the belief that you were just telling me about? So it's a way of helping them see the, because we get into our patterns, right? We slip into default mode. We get into victim mode when we're used to being in it and or whatever other mode. So we get to be here to help them see that. And they'll be like, oh my God, I was totally doing it. You're right. I can't believe it. And it's like, it's okay. It's all right. Just wanting to check in with you and point that out and, you know, explore what might've been happening there. And most of the time people really, they're like, oh, that was amazing that you caught that. So, so pointing it out in session is important as well. Like if it's happening in real time.
Question.
Yeah.
Some people can get defensive if you point out victim.
Some people can get defensive if we use the terminology victim and it hasn't necessarily been explored and unpacked like as a framework, victim accountable. But yeah, people can get defensive for sure about victim. So that's why we're never making an accusation. Or even necessarily, saying directly, like you were just showing up as this, you could couch it as, let's take a pause here and explore. I'm curious to hear your thoughts around this. We've been, talking about victim accountable. Which of those were you just showing up as? And if they think they were accountable and we're seeing that they were victim, that's an awesome opportunity for exploration for sure. help me understand the how that was accountable. I'm curious. I want to, get on the same page with you. If they get, what might defensive look like? Give me an example.
I've had people outright deny. Oh, maybe they were my close family, that's why. My God. That's why you should practice with them.
Noticing a pattern.
Yeah.
So, but let's stay with it. Who knows? It could happen. So they just outright deny it. They're like, I'm not being a victim. Is that what they?
Yeah. Like I said about a relationship, extended family talking about a relationship and saying, he's this, he's that, he's this, he's this, he's that, nonstop. And I'm like, okay, let's get back. Let's feedback. Already explaining the concept of what victim is, because sometimes people don't even realize the whole thing. And then a minute they're like, what? And then they're like, no, outright, no, of course not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Maybe.
Especially relationships, I feel like. Everybody wants to be so right. I don't know. Anything that happens, but. How do you, sometimes is it better to, I guess you want your client, when it comes to a client who's paid you money to move forward, mm-hmm. you do want them, but if you feel like they're stuck, it's not happened in your experience? Is it only that, in your experience has it happened like that?
That say...
Somebody's stuck in victim and then they're denying and you've pointed it out sort of, in your...
I would have to think about that. Been a lot of years and a lot of people, but what's coming to mind right now is an awareness around victim, but then not doing anything about it. So they're not denying it, but they're also not doing anything to show up accountably. That's happened. Yeah.
Okay. So as a coach, if they're, let's say they're aware, but not this thing. So I guess it, would you push further or would you give it time? for them to come to that realization themselves.
The realization of which part, sorry?
Let's say it's a relationship example again, and they keep saying, going around in circles of the other person is wrong, mm-hmm. and it keeps them spiraling and stuck, and they're sort of feeling like they, righteous mm-hmm. about it or whatever. Mm-hmm. Is it more like a dance at play that you're at that time that you realize? But I'm like, do you push them from their thinking away, or do you let it brew until the realization starts coming from within of somebody is playing serious victim mode?
It always has to come from within.
Right.
Truly, yeah. I mean, we can talk, we can share all the tools and perspectives and whatever all day long, and they can conceptually get it. But that's another aspect of why it's so important that we don't tell people how to think or what to think or what frameworks right. to digest. Like, we can offer them up as points of consideration or aspects of life, and then we get to help them get curious about where that sits in their framework, in their mindset, in their inner world. And the answers, as they say, the answers come from within. Well, I don't think the direct answers necessarily always come within. Sometimes we need tools and then the answers click in. But nonetheless, right. If they're not feeling it from within, from inside out, then it's going to be superficial. It's like when our parents tell us to brush our teeth and we're like, no, right? Right. But then we get older and we realize like, ew, gross. I'm not going to not brush my teeth. So.
Right. Right. No, ultimately, I agree it has to come. Any change comes only from within. But when somebody wants to make a deliberate change and they've been mm-hmm. stuck in patterns, then mm-hmm. I guess it depends yeah. from person to person how the conversation is going, some other
yeah.
receptivity.
Yeah. I mean, painting, exploring with them what life looks like when it's happening to them, when they're in the story that, oh, well, he did this and he did that and he did that and he did that. We can, how do you feel when you're focused on somebody else and you're focused on judging this person and like assessing whether they're doing it right or wrong? How does that affect you? How do you feel throughout the day? And just help them realize that they're creating their own hellscape, right? They're like creating their experience. Yeah. So, that can kind of click things.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thanks. I just feel like for me, it's a delicate balance. At times I was in that mode and you just relate to it. But having the knowledge, having somebody told me, it really helped me because it helped me think. It could still be stuck, there's no guarantee, but at least it gave me there is another possibility to think it differently.
Yeah. Providing the frameworks, I actually have this in my notes from earlier. I wasn't sure if we were going to get to this, but... oh gosh, of course I can't find it right now. Providing frameworks for our clients and, you know, tools and introducing them to how the world works or ways of understanding life and things like that. Like, that's awesome. And there's going to be resistance, whether it's around victim, whether it's around success, whether it's around confidence. Like, these ways of being are so almost calcified in some cases. But if they are telling us that they want to be over here, and they're also telling us that they're here, and they're telling us that, and they're like in the thing that's keeping them here, it's our job, it's our responsibility to help them explore and see the connections, right? And it's so nuanced because every situation is different, but so we're not telling them what to think. We're just shining the light as bright as we can from as many mm-hmm. angles as we can to help them realize that it's mutually exclusive to hold this belief and also have this life, right? So, yeah. Great. Thanks, Harky. If you want to give them a tool, I recommend nonviolent communication because that will help them show up accountably. Big time.
Yeah.
Awesome. So let's go ahead and do an exercise for the remainder of our time here, at least till near the end. Let's do a round robin of listening, reflecting, clarifying, articulating. If this feels familiar to what we did on the last call, it is. We're going to do it again. And we're going to do it now through the distinctions that I've mentioned today and a little more information on hand around what this looks like. So just to kind of paraphrase what I just went over, clarifying is getting curious and making sure through asking and articulating that they are clear about what they are saying and that we are clear about what they are saying. And that on the deeper layer, that what they're saying is actually true for them versus a like regurgitated kind of thing. But we can stay on like level one if level two happens, great, but we'll kind of stay on that top layer of like, let's just practice the art of helping them unpack what this means and then reflecting it back to them. So kind of two steps. Does that make sense? Awesome. So last time I was in the hot seat, I'm not going to be in the hot seat this time. We'll go in a circle and I'll have one person. I'm trying to do some time calculation as I design this in real time. So I want everyone to get an opportunity to be on both sides of this. Okay. So person A will share something that you're either a challenge or like a goal. So it can be the same coin, right? So right now I'm wanting to eat less sugar. So that's a flimsy example, but or it could be I'm wanting to eat less sugar because I want to be as healthy as possible, right? So both of those are super ambiguous and vague. So we'll use something that's real for us. So think about something that's real for you, and then we'll go in a circle, invite person A to share that, and then person B will help clarify what that is and then articulate it so that it's a yes. Okay, we're both on the same page here. Okay. All right, who wants to volunteer to be person A first? Oh, awesome. Stace, you can be A, and Herky, you can be B.
So I'm saying my goal, what I'm going for?
Yep, and let's do, I'm sorry, I didn't mention a time frame here. Let's do like 3 minutes for each dyad. But okay. Yes, Stace, yeah, go ahead.
Perfect. Okay. I'm really overwhelmed, as I've said. I think I've said that word about like 10 times on this call. And so I'm looking for bits of balance, especially as I mentioned, like the kids going into the school year of virtual learning, and I'm the only caretaker home. And I want the days to be, I'm not expecting like bliss every day, but I don't want chaos every day. And I'm having a really hard time. I feel like I'm in the middle of a tornado, you know, and I'm also trying to get structure around it. And I'm having a hard time kind of putting that structure in place and figuring out what that looks like.
So, Stacey, what I'm hearing you say is you're feeling overwhelmed. You being the caretaker, you want some balance in your life and some structure.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
So can you define what balance means to you? What would a balance day look like for you?
That's a good question. I think having time, just moments, I think it's having patience. It's having like, I keep talking about like a cup empty or full, I guess I keep referencing that in my life because I feel like it's really empty right now. And I think it's having that like cup filled up. And what is it that's filling that up, I guess, in order to have the energy to put into the all the things necessary.
Okay. So, can you describe a cup full when you say you want a more cup full? What does that look like?
I think.
That your cup is full.
I think feelings of joy, you know, feelings of bliss and happiness. It doesn't have to be the whole day, but like moments of that. You know, like if my daughter's coming up to me and she needs something from me, I'm not feeling like annoyed. I'm feeling like I want to be there with her and engage, because I do. But it's like if my cup is empty, then I do feel annoyed. And I'm not annoyed at her. I'm annoyed at myself for feeling exhausted, you know? So it's not having that feeling. It's like I can be present with the people that need me, both at work, both with my family, with my friends. You know, I can be present and generous.
In reflective listening, can you ask what does it mean, not mean? Like, should I stop with the 3 minutes? First of all.
Sorry, the power is going off and on. You can probably see that right
now. Oh, yeah, that's crazy.
Yes, you can certainly. That's a helpful, like, what does it not look like? How do you know when you're out of balance, like, as contrast? That's great. Yeah, go for it. I'm going to sort my electricity situation out, and we'll move on to the next pair.
Okay. So, Stacey, I hear you saying you want to be present with your kids and at work with your family and at work. You want to be like have this intrinsic joy and patience. What do you feel is currently preventing you from that, being present?
I think it's just trying to do too many things at once. It's trying to answer emails and then having my daughter ask me questions right in the middle of me trying to craft an email response. You know, it's my son wanting to play on the Xbox, and like as I'm in the middle of I'm on a video call and he's asking me if he can go, you know, it's like it's the interruption of, there's no boundaries because they're kids, and that's why people don't work from home and take care of kids. So it's like, how do you, the only boundary you can give a 9 and 11 year old is go to your room and be by yourself. Or what I'm thinking is building a different structure so that I'm not working from home and doing that. So I'm also trying to weigh that in a pandemic. Like if I have someone come in here, are they following the rules? What, there's so many layers to solving the problem that I feel, and it's so chaotic that it's like, I just have pros and cons list for all of it. Like, okay, what, I could try this. I could try this. Okay. But then it's complicated.
Right. And I heard you say the words, I heard you say structure, and it looks like you feel like the structure and boundaries will help you with the balance. So if there was structure, how would you define the structure? What would structure look like? What's happening during the day?
I just think some strict rules of like, okay, this is happening from this time to this time. There's no interruptions. There's no walking in the room. There's, you know, some respect on both sides. I hear you that you want to play on the Xbox. I want to spend time with you. I can feel that you want to spend time with me. Let's do that. But let's, you know, give me space to do this. And then there's that. And I think what happens to me is I get really overwhelmed. And when I get really overwhelmed, I oftentimes, I'm just like, whatever. I don't know. I'm just, all I know is I need to get these emails done and I need to get this, because this is my work and this is what provides for the family. And so then I kind of let like the house stuff get really chaotic because the kids aren't going to come to me at the end of the day and say, hey, you kind of messed up today, mom, not giving you your paycheck. You might be fired, right? They're just going to be like acting out. And then I address that. So it's like, ugh, it sucks.
Yeah.
it really sucks. It's not a good situation.
Thanks for that. Yeah, gosh, I'm like, should we just stay in Stacy realm right now? Because I really want everyone to do the clarity. Oh, that was brilliant. Yes, awesome. Yeah. I really, really appreciate you, Harky, for staying with the curiosity. And did you ladies notice that? How she kept asking her to clarify. And like, whereas, you know, instead of like, okay, you want this, let's go in that direction. Like paying attention to those keywords and those like balance and structure and overwhelm and like, what does that mean? So that was beautiful. Everybody listened back to the recording. That was great.
It was helpful. I'm just going to say it was helpful for me too, because I could feel myself carving out the solution versus someone giving it to me, which it felt, I could like almost visually see me like, okay, I can see the carving out of what it actually should be, which was super helpful. Thank you, Harky.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, it's amazing to have a, like just a series of clarifying questions and like help us define what this means to us, because we say the words and often as we don't even think about what we mean, you know, it's like, sure, structure, what does that mean to me? So like I said earlier, sometimes half a session or more will be around an entire session will be around clarifying something. And that is like, holy shit, I thought I wanted that, but really it's about this thing. Whoa. So beautiful. Yeah. So Harky, are you willing to be person A and I'll have Leah be person B? Is that okay?
Sure.
Awesome. Cool. Go for it.
I feel I want to get rid of my tendency to procrastinate. I want to be consistent.
So what I'm hearing you say is you believe that you have, that you procrastinate?
Yes.
And what does procrastination look like when you think you do that?
I put off an important task, and do something else instead. That's more fun.
Another, do you feel consequences of doing the other thing? Or do you feel joy? What are your feelings around that?
In the moment, it's good to do the fun thing. But later on, it could lead to like a bit of regret.
So when you talk about feeling regret, tell me a little bit more about regret. What leads you to regret? Is it something that didn't get done, or is it just obligation? Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so like for the business, I feel like I should have more, I should try to get the important things done versus one is getting caught up in the household or listening to some talk.
So you just gave me an example of a procrastination choice that you would make.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me if you were to make each of those choices, how would you feel on the two different choices?
If I was to make the choice of doing the important work first, is that what you're saying?
How would it feel if, in a perfect world, what would it feel like if you made choice A, and then what would it feel like if you made choice B?
Oh, if I've got the important work done first, then I would feel accomplished and satisfied, maybe moving in the right direction, even though I may feel the pinch when I'm doing it. But sometimes it serves me to go in that. What can I say? I have these zones when I really need to replenish myself. If I do too much of do, I often I operate better when I feel more nourished. For example, today I should have been doing something else, but I was listening to Panesh Desai meditations, and he was talking about I am enough and just root of, you know, spirituality. And after that, I felt really good. Sometimes it can, you know, it can be beneficial, but not always. Sometimes I'm just shirking it.
So I just want to make sure I'm on the same page as you, because what I originally heard you say is that you would like to work through your tendency to procrastinate. But when I'm listening to you now, I'm hearing that you're having a choice of two items, and both of those things need to get done, and they get done. So I just want to make sure that we're talking about procrastination, as opposed to what would your definition, the difference between procrastination and prioritizing be?
Yeah, so it's not that both need to be done. In terms of need to, if you call it more like a to-do, then one is a nice to have and one is like to-do, you know. So think of it like I could be listening to a talk and it's not my, I need to get that done, you know, is what I was giving an example of.
Okay, so we're talking about need versus want. Is that, am I hearing you correctly on that?
Yeah.
Okay. Fawn, are you nodding at me because I'm hitting 3 minutes?
No, I'm nodding because that was a great question.
Okay.
We'll go for a couple more. You're on a good run.
Okay. So what would it look like if you were able to make space for things that you need to do as well as things that you want to do?
Yeah, that would be good.
So how would you go about creating that balance?
I usually take the afternoon for what I like to do. So I try to do that. My mornings are more like, you know, either it's like attending to the household or doing some work. So I do know that's the way to do it, but my challenge was sticking to it.
So Leah, I'm going to pop in for a second. So the need, I just want to distinguish something. The question you asked around, or the reflection that you gave around, so this is sounds like this is about a need versus a want. And she confirmed that. And then from there was an exploration into brainstorming mode, into what would that look like? How could that happen? And that's fine, like in an organic flow, that's awesome. I'm wondering, Leah, if there's any other clarity that would be helpful for you to have about Herky's initial goal around not wanting to procrastinate, and then what you just uncovered with need versus want, and staying in the visioning process and the curiosity process, if there's anything else that you would find helpful from her to know to then move forward. And I'll field that to you, and then we'll keep going around the circle. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, okay. I knew... I asked the wrong question, because I was hoping for clarification when she would tell me what that day looked like, that she accomplished needs and wants, that I would better understand what she's defining as a need or want, or that she would better define that. But instead I got she answered the question I asked, which is how would that look, and how she would accomplish it. What I really wanted to know what would fit in that day to have a better picture of what the difference between the two items was. So I needed to ask the question differently.
Beautiful. Thank you for clarifying that. Awesome. All right. Any other questions that you would want to ask Herky in this phase?
Well, I'd try and find a way to ask more about how she determines what a want versus a need is, so that maybe she can have more clarity on that and work through those feelings.
Great.
So.
Great. Yeah. Perfect. That's beautiful. Thank you. Perfect. So absolutely. I'm glad that that came up just now in real time, live here on the call. Because sometimes one question can lead in a myriad different directions and kind of take things maybe off the rail that we thought we wanted to be on, or that we were trying to, you know, stay with. So I appreciate you speaking to that. And if that happens, that's totally, you know, that's going to happen, totally fine. And if we still need clarity, then we can come back and, like you just mentioned, right, asking more about around need versus want, that's great. But also, if it seems like the client in answering that question, like something like becomes alive and something's really relevant and helpful, then we can stay with that, right? We don't necessarily want to like break flow. So it's always an improvisational dance, which I know is probably frustrating. But yeah, that was great. Thank you.
Fawn, can I ask a question on that?
Yeah, totally.
Sorry, I know we're getting to the end, so I don't want to take up everyone's time, but I felt like we were like on a freeway and then she went on an exit and I was like, shit, how do I catch up with her back there and bring her back here?
Good analogy.
I was like, that wasn't where I wanted to go. So I guess that would be my question. You were just saying it can be organic. So my question is, I felt like I wasn't ready to go down the brainstorming solution because I still wasn't sure that was the issue. And so we want it to remain organic. So in that case, would you have gotten off the exit and gone back around and gotten her back on the route you wanted to be on? Or would you have gone down her road?
I would have gone back to clarifying need versus want, probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just felt like I took it in the wrong direction, so then I felt like I have to move out of the organic flow and go, my bad, let's go back here.
Yeah, great question. Thanks for that. It's hard to say because everything is happening in real time and like not being part of the equation, it's hard to say like what I would do. But based on what just occurred, I probably would circle back and say, okay, so, you know, let's explore this need versus want. So then, you know, tell me a little bit more about that. How does that impact your belief around procrastinating or whatever, right? Wherever you take it from there. But yes, like bringing them back to the clarification if you feel that's still important is totally fine. And you don't it doesn't have to be abrupt, like, let's go back. It can be like, you know, some kind of a segue in there. So is that helpful? Does that answer your question?
Yeah, totally. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. All right, let's do one more dyad. Leah, would you be open to being person A? And who wants to volunteer to be person B?
I'll be person A, and I'm trying to make my video not freeze everything. Sorry, guys.
Okay. Person B.
I can do it, but I want to give Kim and Ashley a chance to be a part of this. So,
who has to hop off at the hour exactly? Okay, raise your hand if you have 10 extra minutes. Ish Ash. okay, so we'll have Ashley be person B, and then we'll see where we go from there. Is that okay, Stace? Okay, cool. All right, Leah, you're in the hot seat.
All right, yeah, what's your goal?
All right.
What's your goal?
So, let's start it,
but for our purpose.
What's your goal? So my goal is to create more time for me to do yoga that I love and miss.
Okay. Create more time for you to do yoga.
Or any time for me to do yoga.
Anytime. What is important about creating this time for you?
Yoga has always been my favorite physical activity because it blends mental, physical, spiritual balance all in one place, and it allows me to set intentions as well as giving time to my physical health.
Okay. So to me it sounds like getting that balance between mental and physical health, as well as taking some time for yourself, for intentions is important to you.
Yes. With COVID not being able to go into a hot yoga studio or have an instructor or a class time that you're supposed to be attending has made it easy for me to find a million other things to do.
Right. So to me, just reflecting on that, the yoga is setting that time for yourself. So it does, is it that the, you know, creating that time for yourself is something that you're looking for? Is that right?
Yeah, but it's also my physical health. Since my hysterectomy last year, my body is like a stranger to me, and I haven't made time to get to know my new body and figure out how it works and how to be healthy. And then COVID has just compounded that. So it's really, really big deal to me that I just keep thinking I'll deal with later.
Okay. And that, can you tell me, I guess, a little bit more about what I'm hearing maybe is there needs to be a little bit more connection between the physical and the mental and you know, and your health overall. Can you tell me a little bit more about that connection?
I feel like I'm constantly in learning new things for and checking in and holding myself accountable on mental health, but mm-hmm. I feel sometimes like I'm dragging around really healthy mind and spirit in a really dirty old duffel bag.
Okay.
Like a bunch of good stuff in there, but on the outside it's right. Like
right.
Not carrying the package very well anymore.
Right. Okay. I got it. I understand. Yeah, what does it feel like for you when you are no, I mean it's great. It's a great,
yes, I
it's a great metaphor.
Yeah. I've actually had that thought in the mirror, like, wow, things on the inside are way prettier than what I'm seeing right now.
So feeling better physically
yes.
is something definitely that is that you want to work
yes.
on now. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
And what does it feel like when you do feel like you're not dirty on the outside?
Well, I feel it creates balance because it's all important to go hand in hand. If I don't have the physical energy, or if I'm not appearing welcoming to people when I'm interacting with them because I'm thinking in my head I should have done my yoga this morning or whatever the case may be, I think that I would have more success and feel more confident in pursuing other things if I had balance in both of those areas.
Yeah. Are we at time? I mean, I can continue asking questions.
If you have another like clarification layer, go for it.
What would that having that balance between both the physical and the mental look like for you and do for you?
It would just open up my ability to add new experiences or have deeper experiences because I would have both really important things in alignment.
Right. So almost in a way you would, be aligned and maybe even a little bit more present with yourself and
right.
Okay.
Yep.
Great.
Awesome. Gosh, it feels so awkward to break flow. Stage. Nice. Thank you, both of you. Yeah, that was That's a great exploration. That was a really great example, and I want to talk about this anyway, so everything's meant to be. There's a philosophy that I really enjoy, an approach to coaching that I enjoy, which is coach the person, not the problem. So tactical coaching is helpful, like, okay, create more time. So we could go in the direction of time, right? Like, how can you create more time? Where are you not having time? Why is your schedule so full? All that stuff. That's the problem. But where Ashley just went with it, and it took me a moment to catch too, to be honest, because I'm still so programmed to be like solutions. Ashley just helped Leah explore her person, right? Like, why is this important to her? What does this mean to her? What does this deeply mean to her? Why, you know, creating more time to do yoga was like the tip of the iceberg. And we just learned so much about it's yoga, sure, but it's actually about Leah's relationship with her body and her mind and her spiritual connection and her, like, that, right? So that was a beautiful example of a line of inquiry and clarity that may not be as, like, obvious, because we're not talking about what Leah said the problem is, but we're learning more about what the problem is, if that makes sense. It's not the time, it's the disconnect from her body. That was super neat. Good job, ladies.
It's only because you told me I couldn't go into solution mode, so.
Yay, it's working! Yes, awesome. Yeah, stay in clarity as long as we can, ladies, until it's like, okay, now it's solution mode time. It's surprising how valuable it can be to stay in the clarification. So, yeah, nice. All right, let's see. Let's do Stace and Kim so that everybody has an opportunity. Do you have time, each of you? Yeah, okay.
Awesome. I do.
Great. So we'll do, Kim, you want to be person A?
Okay. I would like to get back to doing my normal activities.
What does normal activities mean to you? What is that?
The things I was doing before I got sick.
Okay. When did you get sick?
Like towards the end of May.
Okay, towards the end of May, so you got sick. What were the activities you were doing leading up to that?
I was walking like 2 to 3 times, sometimes jogging, doing steps. I was driving.
Mm-hmm.
So those are 2 things that I really like to get back to doing, even if it's on a limited or somehow modified basis.
Mm-hmm. And what, just so I have clarity around it, because I don't know what happened when you got sick, what stops you from being able to run, walk, drive?
Vertigo.
Oh, ugh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Wow.
I'm taking medicine.
Okay.
And some days I feel better than others, but I think, there's definitely a fear of being off balance and not being able to recover from it immediately.
That's so scary. I'm so sorry. I can't imagine, like, even walking and having that fear of hitting that, and that is extremely scary. So what makes you feel safe within that? So I hear you, that you want to do that, right? But then I also hear the fear. Am I hearing that correctly? There's a little bit of fear around, how do I jump back into this thing? Right. That's kind of,
Yeah, because a couple of times when I've driven by myself, I've had to pull over and then call somebody to come meet me. Ugh. So I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
You know. But I do want to get back to something, because I'm starting to feel better. And I don't want it to turn into something that, well, it is already, but I mean, I want to try because mm-hmm. I'm very used to being on the go, which nobody has to go back to that either.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to, you know, but I do want to try, you know, like mm-hmm. try to get back to something. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I hear you. I just can feel that for you of kind of almost being stuck a little bit, if I'm hearing it correctly. It's kind of like I have this urge and I want to get back to this, but I also feel a little bit unsafe. And how do I navigate this?
Right. Yeah. Because I don't want to be anxious about it. I don't want it to turn into something where, you know, I don't drive. I have big dreams. My kids are about to be out the house. I have one more, you know, and if not out the house, at least where they can survive and I can be in Mexico, you know.
Totally.
I can't get to the airport if I'm not driving.
Totally. I heard you just say anxiety around that, and it stuck out to me. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but is...
No, you are.
Tell me about that anxiety that's existing within this.
You know, to be behind the wheel, I'm automatically feeling like, what if I don't make it the whole way? You know, like, what if it happens again and then I have mm-hmm. to pull over? Or, you know, I don't want to have to ask anybody to come get me. Mm-hmm. But I also want to get back to, because what I'm noticing is that now when I'm up and I have something to do, or I'm, you know, I'm not sitting around feeling every little thing that's, you know, that might be occurring in my body. And so I just feel like if I start to get back to some normalcy, then, you know, maybe even the things that are bothering me will kind of be less noticeable. But I also know that, you know, it's kind of like a catch 22, I guess. It's like,
it is, yeah.
Get out there, woo, you know.
I totally can sense that and hear that and feel that. I want to get us to the goal of like getting you there, but there's one thing that just stuck out and I just want to sit in there for a second. Mm-hmm. What did it mean for you when you had to call for help? What does that mean as a person?
That something was really wrong with me. Yeah. Hmm. And was I ever going to get back to my normal?
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah.
That's heavy, yeah. And do you still feel that? Does that still stick with you?
Yeah, at least several times a day. But, you know, I feel like with some of the things that I'm practicing, I'm definitely looking, you know, I don't want to say I honor that feeling, but I at least acknowledge it. I don't try to shove it and cover it up anymore. I kind of process through. I have a thing that I use to process through it. Trying to bring, well, definitely feel that safety from my spiritual life, you know, kind of digging mm-hmm. into that. And again, kind of being up and active has helped also. Mm-hmm. And not sitting on the couch and at my laptop and then all of a sudden I feel a pain in my stomach and I feel like, oh gosh, is that happening again? Or, you know, sometimes I feel off balance and so I'll sit down and then so now I'm starting to get up and just walking through it, you know, just until it kind of, you know, and mostly it happens in the morning. So I kind of orient myself and then I'm usually okay. You know, and also realizing that some of that is sinus pressure because of the weather. So, like, when something happens, if it shows anything like near that, I feel that anxiety, like, oh, you know, is it? And then I have to say, no, it's raining outside. It's your sign.
Yeah. It sounds scary, though. I mean, I totally have, can't even imagine, honestly, that feeling of I can't walk, I can't run, I can't drive. Those are kind of, if we look at like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, those are like up there, right? And really important things. I feel like you're being super brave in even exploring it.
Thank you for saying that. I feel chicken on a daily basis.
Oh, no. I think quite the opposite. I think quite the opposite. I think you're approaching it really well. There's just something that keeps resonating with me in that is something really wrong with me? That voice, am I hearing that correctly? That is kind of a reoccurring voice that's happening for you?
Yes, but also something that I'm starting not to just kind of like I'm processing it and acknowledging it, that it's a thought, and questioning it. Is that true? Is something wrong with me? You know, I take time to kind of scan my body and say, okay, wait, is anything hurting? You know, and if it's not, or, you know, I'll stand still instead of sitting and fearing it, I'll stand still and kind of look, and I'll say, okay, I feel a little off balance, but I can still, you know, walk and, you know, and get to what I need to. It wasn't like the one time where I couldn't.
That sounds amazing, though. It's you're acknowledging it, you're listening to it, you're sitting in it, you're processing it. That's amazing. I think that, in and of itself, is huge accomplishments. Huge accomplishments.
Thank you. And thanks to all of you too, because the only reason why I'm doing that stuff. So.
I don't know, Fawn. I feel like I would start to go into, like, problem-solving mode now.
Great.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So that's a good distinction there, Stace, where you're starting to feel like, okay, I'm clear now on where she's at. I'm clear on what this getting back to normal activities means to her. I'm clear, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you feel clear. And
totally.
And I'll ask him, too. Like, do you feel like Stacey is clear about...
Yeah, I feel like she touched on, like, she even though it wasn't, you know, solution, like, she took each little bit of what I said, like, the fear, feeling safe. Like, she touched on everything without trying to problem solve it, but she just, you know, and she kept saying, I just need to, so it was, yeah. And I have to say, this whole process, I'm listening to everybody, and I could see why you would stay in this a lot longer than the solution mode. This is so helpful to me. So, yeah.
Agreed.
Beautiful. Yeah, great. Stace, I really, I was also noticing your articulation of wanting more clarity for your sake, and like, I just have one more question. Like, it's really empowering to do that sometimes and let them know. And you had even said, I want to help you find the solution to this or something like that. But I just have one, like, a curiosity, something's coming up for me. Like, that's really great. It's very helpful to inform them as to where you're at in the process. You don't have to do that every time, but it feels helpful to kind of guide it that way too at times. So I appreciate your like vocalizing that. That was great. Again, right? Like not coaching the person, not the problem. That was a great example because Kim initially would like to get back to doing normal activities. So, you know, kind of the surface layer. And again, we're all going to do this at points. I'm not trying to say it's bad or good or evil or whatever. But like if we're to jump right into like brainstorming mode, if we're to jump right into problem solving mode of like, okay, well, what can you do to get back to activities? We just missed the whole story of what's going on, right? So much of that is important, I think. So that was, yeah, beautiful. Gosh, ladies, this is awesome. I'm feeling very proud right now. Yeah, thank you all so much. I know we're over time, so I'll get to scooting, wrapping us out here, but that was amazing. And this is like, I'm feeling very, oh, there's a rainbow outside. I have to show you ladies. I'm feeling very happy that I circled back to this activity with you because it is so important. Can you see the rainbow? That's so pretty. Because the clarification process is obviously, I mean, it's kind of a big deal. It's a huge part of the exploration. And I think the solution, as you take this out into the world and you practice this in your buddy sessions and you even do this with yourself is really helpful, like process of like what else inquiring. But the solution, the actual real insightful solution, this new, oh, well, it's about that, right? This like realization can happen through peeling back all of these layers versus the kind of like band-aid solution or the practical masculine action oriented solution that we might tend to do of like, well, just create more time in your schedule, right? That's helpful, sure. But it's also immensely helpful to go deeper and realize like, oh, I'm not creating time because I don't value myself as an equal in my household or whatever, right? Like that's, so yeah, that was great. Please take this into your buddy coaching sessions. You can just do like back and forth practices of this like we did tonight, just to get your, you know, build your muscles. There's like bugs everywhere, which is why I'm itching in case you're wondering. Jungle bugs everywhere. So you can focus on this particular aspect with each other in your buddy coaching and or the framework inclusive of this, and then go into brainstorming. So you're getting more tools, more skills, more perspective around all of this. And that was amazing. Every single one of you. Wow. Really, really beautiful. So I'll post in the Facebook group. I'd love to hear your takeaways from this. Like let it settle, kind of noodle a bit, and you know, just anything that comes up for you, how this felt or how this was versus maybe how you were doing things before, perceiving things before, questions you have around it, etc. Definitely post in Facebook. And then I will also follow up with a post tomorrow with everything that I mentioned early on the call and details and stuff like that. So awesome. We would do takeaways, but we're already over time. So takeaways in the Facebook group would be appreciated. And I will set you all free into your evening. Great job tonight, ladies. This was a super beautiful, badass call. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody.
Good night.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.